Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, March 12, 2017, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America. I'm Grantham Taylor Hughes from my show, The Grantham Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, Gabriella Foster. Hi, Gabriella, how are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thanks, Grantham. And how about yourself?
I'm doing just fine.
I see you're in somewhat of a comedic mood tonight. Is there any reason for that?
Well, I'm inherently a comedian without a big red nose like Patch Adams. But if you want me to have a big red nose with Patch Adams, the only problem is the audience can't see it.
Well, that's true, but there is such a thing as Facebook, and I'm sure that if I bought you a big red nose and got you to put it on, we could post that on all the Facebooks and Twitters and Instagrams.
In the whole world, right?
So everybody can see. Grantham Taylor
Hughes. I see. Thank you very much.
Big red nose.
Comedian's out of work. I can see that right away. Grantham Taylor, I'm not going to even say it.
Okay, so for the multitude of people who are listening tonight, perhaps we should go through what...
I've been hosed by my guest host. Well, you know how it is, folks, you know, and you start laughing and end of story, right? Okay.
What are we speaking about?
Well, you know, the usual agenda is politics, correct? We have the political agenda, which is my platform of the three planks, the three wooden planks of my platform that are very thin, because you have to watch the shaky planks as you're walking across the platform that you don't fall in the crevice below, or
okay,
the Mariana Trench, whichever comes first. I see.
Okay, this is the
yes?
fourth plank. Okay, so that's...
Sovereignty,
aging shadow, and we forgot the plank of health.
Well, yeah, but I usually use health first, because you need your health firstly. And I do apologize for that. There are four planks, and health is the first one. The reason I say that is because without your health, what's the point of the other one? What's the point of the other three planks if you're not alive, right? You know
that's
what I mean?
Absolutely true.
That's true. So health becomes a major issue.
Who want to know, you haven't listened before and you're wondering why we're talking about health when this is really more of a political type show.
And you're wondering why we're talking about health as she's laughing right now. And so we, you know, there's an interlude of a lull, basically a laughter lull, an LL.
Okay. So I want to explain why we're talking about health, because Grantham and I are both raw vegans. And we've been, you
continue? Yeah, being a raw vegan, there is an issue about health, and it's a very rare thing to be raw vegan, because it's very difficult for people that are conditioned to the standard American diet, as we call it, the three initials SAD, the SAD diet, which the American people don't really appreciate it, but I didn't create the initials to standard American diet.
Yeah.
Right.
And for those people who don't know what raw vegan is, it is not vegan. I can't tell you how many times I go through the checkout line at a supermarket like Whole Foods, which is supposed to know about these types of things, and they're asking me why I have all this produce, and I say, well, I'm raw vegan. And they say, oh, yes, my cousin went vegan. And I go, no, I'm raw vegan. I do not eat any cooked food. There is an importance of not cooking the food, because we want live enzymes to nourish the body, to rejuvenate the cells in the body.
Correct.
If we're cooking, even if we're vegan and we're cooking our food, we're not doing ourselves a justice as far as our health goes.
Correct.
Because we're getting no nutrition. So it doesn't matter that you're vegan and not eating meat and dairy. Of course, it's good not to have those toxins in the body, but still, you're not nourishing the body if you're cooking your food.
Correct. The vegans don't revere the enzyme, whereas the raw vegan respect the enzyme. That's the issue. Being vegan, I was 300 pounds about 10 years ago, so the vegan issue doesn't really give the optimum health, in our opinion. The raw issue is what's very important. And having said that, it's over 105 degrees denatures the enzyme. There's a 13 degree controversy between 105 and 118. So we say, when in doubt, do 105 degrees or less in terms of the food issue. And that means that you could dehydrate your food slowly, like a slow cooking or a very cool cooking. I don't know how you would say that. A very low heat under 105 degrees or less keeps the enzyme alive. And that's the issue. The issue is that vegans do not revere the enzyme. They don't understand it. So in my opinion, veganism is worse because they feel like they're chuffed and they're doing something wonderful for the environment in terms of not killing animals or eating dairy and what have you. That's all right, but they're still killing the physical body. So they may look a little bit better than the sad dieter, but they're still going to pass away at a certain age and maybe look better. But the raw vegan can really live virtually immortal. I say virtually because I don't believe in immortalism in terms of preservation is done away with at some point historically. So that means that the raw vegan can live indefinitely. And I say that being a work in progress because I'm a certain age and I'm not over 100 necessarily. So I'm a work in progress in reference to prove that in the future. And that's the issue about health is the enzyme is the issue. And that's very, very important that we learn about that. We talk about that with people about the reverence to the enzyme. Because in the East, that's the issue with the Himalayan masters and what have you, talk about the enzyme life because it catalyzes all the nutrients. If you have denatured enzymes, then you virtually are a dead person because the nutrients aren't really being catalyzed properly. And that's why vegans are not, in my opinion, not any better than the sad people because they have an attitude thinking they're not killing animals. And I respect that. I don't like the idea of killing animals. But a man is a priority to an animal. If you had a choice, the human prevails. I'm not recommending to kill animals, and I think it's good not to. But if after said, the enzyme is the issue. The enzyme life is much more important than the idea of the veganism. So the veganism are not respecting the enzyme life, and that's a big deal. I mean, we need to talk about that more because vegan is a big term out there nowadays. When people talk about vegan, oh, they're all chuffed about vegan and what have you. I'm saying time out. I think we're missing the boat there completely. All right?
Right. No, I agree with that because I'd like to explain a little bit of the change in my health since I've become raw vegan. Before I became raw vegan, I was eating, at one point I'd been a vegetarian for a long time. And then I had, when I was living abroad, I had gone back to eating meat because it was more difficult to be vegetarian. Then when I came back to the States, I was eating vegetarian and then vegan. But the thing was, I was tired all the time, exhausted, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong except that I'm thinking, well, okay, I'm aging. There's nothing I can really do about it. I guess this is what happens when you get old. And then I inadvertently found out about the raw vegan diet, and within a week of switching over completely, my energy level just jumped. It jumped to the ceiling. It skyrocketed, and I couldn't believe I hadn't felt like this since I've been a kid, and all of a sudden, I have a tremendous amount of energy I haven't had for years and years, and also, in the process, I got rid of so many elements that had been bothering me and hanging on for years, little aches and pains and things that have been bothering me over the years that I couldn't really completely get rid of. So for me, that was the tremendous benefit, was having this wonderful energy, feeling like a kid again, and being able to do 10 times more than I had been doing. So it's really a tremendous difference. My health is so improved, and I think I look younger than when I did 10 years ago.
Right, and also you became a long-distance runner, correct?
That's true. I do run usually about an average of 5 miles a day, and I enjoy it. I can run longer. I've run half marathons and marathons, but I I can do that, schedule permitting and so forth. It's not a problem. I have tons of energy to do this, and I never thought that I would ever be doing this.
Absolutely. So that's an important part, is that what we have also found is, ironically, that there's a controversy on the raw vegan issue about why people don't become raw vegan or sustain raw vegan, and that is the factor of the cooked food desire that people need to condition out of their self, or you're born into that conditioning. So we've had that discussion. That's a controversy in itself.
Yeah, that's interesting, because to me, people are going, well, I can never go to a restaurant again. What am I going to do? Well, I would rather be healthy than go to a restaurant all the time, because you come out of there and you don't feel so great.
But the point I'm trying to make with that is that why can't people sustain raw veganism is a conditioning issue. Remember, we were talking about you have to have a certain realization and transcend desire in your system.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of emotions attached with eating. So we've grown up eating with our family, our mother or father, whoever's ever doing the cooking in the household is making us certain dishes. There's a lot of love and fun associated with that, with all the holidays and everything, and we're very attached to that imagery. And so we keep thinking of that, and it makes it difficult to make the transition. So you have to have a lot of discipline to do this.
Well, then the desire for the food itself.
Right.
Mashed potatoes and gravy and chicken and turkey at these harvest times or these celebration times that people are into, this fun type venue or imagery that comes to mind, plus the taste and the desire for these foods that we've had since we were born into it. See, so that engram, that conditioning engram, and we've discussed this. I think that's why I want to talk about this on the air, so that people can understand why it's nearly impossible to sustain raw veganism, except like in the celebrities and California, they go on the diet for 2 or 3 weeks to lose some weight, and then they go back to their standard
American
diet.
They do it as a detox,
right.
They don't stick with it. It's just too hard for them to do it. There's very few people that are totally raw vegan.
Correct.
And
sustain it.
And that sustain it.
Right.
Even a lot of the gurus of the so-called gurus of the raw vegan movements, many of them don't even eat totally raw all the time. They eat what's called a high raw diet, which might be 75% or more, or 75% or less raw food. And, but they might eat a cooked meal a couple times a week. They're not totally raw.
So that's why we've agreed in terms of our discussion that high raw is sustainable.
Yeah.
Whereas 100% raw, we believe, is unsustainable. And that would be a challenge to people. But I'm saying somebody needs to prove to me, if they're not a self-realized person, which is virtually impossible unless you're following a certain spiritual path, in our opinion, or you're born into raw veganism, that you cannot sustain 100% raw. So that's why we're recommending these days high raw, like at 98% or, like you said, 75% or high.
Because you're still going to be a lot healthier than you were.
Correct.
So at least you're going to be getting a lot more nutrients into your body, and that's really important, because those enzymes, all those vitamins and minerals that your body doesn't really absorb, does not get into the system if it's cooked. And it's just bulk that's going in the body and doing no good. So that's why if you can sustain a high raw diet, that and maybe just eat a cooked meal even once a day, and the rest of it raw, would still be so much better.
Correct.
So
at the same time, we don't know, and that's why, again, it's a controversial issue about 100% raw. We don't know what a cooked food diet will do in terms of this destructive element of the enzymes in the body. There's nothing to measure that with, and I think we'll do some laboratory experiments in the future with that, in reference to somehow to measure how destructive the certain cooked foods will be with enzymes in the body, in terms of the trillion, multi-trillion enzymes in your body, what that does. But having said that, because it is impossible, in our opinion, to sustain 100% raw vegan, and you're saying, well, how do you do it? Well, there's secrets to that, in terms of reconditioning processes that one can go through, or you're born into a raw vegan diet. You're conditioned and nurtured from the beginning in a raw vegan diet. If you're in a family of high raw people, or if you're born into it, there's a likely disposition, a tendency to be 100% raw vegan. So I think it's very rare, and there may be only, we're guessing at like 500 people in the whole world, maybe. I don't know how we'd ever say that. Exactly.
We're just totally guessing.
We're not sure.
But it's interesting you were talking about children being brought up in a raw vegan family. There are a few people who have brought their children up just eating raw food. Now, one of these people, Victoria Butenko, who wrote the book called Green for Life, and she wrote some
Let's repeat that. Green for Life, three words.
Green for life.
I highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a woman that invented the green smoothie.
Yeah, okay.
Victoria
it's,
Butenko.
It's mostly about the green smoothie, but it talks about eating raw, and she did a lot of research on it, and she put people on the green smoothies, and their energy increased, and they felt better. But when she became raw, her children were 7 and 8 years old. Her son had asthma, and her son had diabetes, and her daughter had asthma. She switched the kids over to totally raw, and they got rid of those ailments.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not exceptions. Anybody that goes raw will get rid of diabetes and asthma, multiple sclerosis. I've met people who've gotten rid of multiple sclerosis, many cancers, very severe cancers, even brain cancer. So it's completely possible. So we created these diseases by putting the garbage in our body. When we stop eating the garbage and eating the healthy nutritional food with the enzymes, then we start rebuilding our body.
Right.
And I wanted to say something else. As far as so interesting. So her children became raw at a very young age, and she's having conversation with her daughter, I guess when her daughter was a few years later in teens, and they were talking about memories of food when they were growing up. Well, the mother's memories were different because she grew up eating cooked food, but the daughter's best memories were when she and her parents had gone to pick peaches, to get some fresh peaches, and how much fun that was and how delicious the peaches were, because she wasn't stuck with those cooked food memories. She'd been switched over and totally forgotten about
it. How old was she when she switched over, you know?
She was 8 and her brother was 7.
Okay.
So interestingly enough, when she went to college, she was pressured by her peers to eat cooked food. She tried it. She didn't feel good. She didn't like it. She immediately went back to eating raw.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So I thought that was very interesting. And she and her brother, who are well into their 20s or older now, they're both dedicated to being completely raw.
Okay, well, that's very interesting, because
mm-hmm.
I wonder, because of the conditioning process going to Maria Montessori and that discussion, that in the first 2 years of your conditioning is when you are inured to the processes of our physical life when you're that age. So I'm wondering if they can actually sustain that in the future, because the engrams are still going to be of a cooked food realm in the first 2 years. So I wonder about that.
They have.
Pardon me?
I mean, they have, because they've been raw now for at least 20 years.
Right, understood, but I don't know. See, that's what I'm saying. You have to see what is in the future for them in reference if they sustain it, because they still would have engrams of cooked food issues. So that becomes, see, that's the issue here, is a conditioning process, getting away from the desire of that imagery or the smells and the food desire of cooked food. See, that's the issue why most people they have to go high raw, because they go back into this desire, and they can't defeat desire with willpower. Nobody can do that. I would challenge anybody, even Buddhists, to claim, oh, we can be detached from desire, because they're not getting a certain energy level that we're aware of in terms of a spiritual path we don't talk about on the political show that we do on Saturday nights, but we're not doing that presently. But in terms of that, getting rid of the desire, there's a specific process you need to go through, and we can't do that in terms of that discussion in the political side. And I apologize for not leaving people suspended in animation over not really being able to discuss that. But having said that, the high raw, if you can get to like 98% or 99% raw, which you can sustain, you could do that. I mean, if you only ate maybe one cooked meal a month, you're going pretty high. That's a high percentage. You're talking about probably 95% of your diet.
But the thing of it is, I mean, you really do have to be disciplined. I remember speaking to somebody who said he was raw, and then he started eating one cooked meal a month. And then after a while, he found he was eating one cooked meal a day, a week, and then a day. And then he realized he had to be completely raw or wasn't going to do it.
Oh, okay.
And so he switched back to being totally raw.
Well, but you don't know if he can sustain it over months and months and months.
Yeah,
see, that's the issue of we talked about people. But the joke was, are you 100% raw? They say yes. And then that slash goes, the oxymoron of, do you ever cheat, right? Cheating and raw, you know, that type thing. And they said, well, once in a while I have a baked potato. And I said, well, you're vegan then. You're not raw vegan, because 100% means all the time. So if you sustain it for months and months and months and you keep going, just like the Tenko people, if their conditioning when they're the first two years was inert and cooked food, I don't know if they could sustain it after 40 years. I don't know. I mean, that would be a work in progress to see if they were able to do that. I'm not saying it's not really that much of a major issue with me that you're 100% raw. I'm just saying if you want to live to be virtually immortal, going past 100 years or 200 years, I claim that you can do that under raw veganism. People say, I want to do that, I want to do that. Well, then you have to recondition yourself and eliminate the desire for cooked food. And that's a big issue and very difficult in terms of we know how to do it, but it's kind of a secret type thing. I hate to put people in suspense, and I do apologize for that, but that's the nature of that.
Right. But the thing is this: if you have health problems and you want to get over them, then raw would be a terrific avenue to explore, because the people that I know that have had serious health problems and changed their diet.
Cancer, you can go in remission.
Well, sure, I know two people who had brain cancer and they got rid of their brain cancer.
Correct.
That is unheard of. That is really unheard of.
Sure.
But I know people who've gotten rid of breast cancer, multiple sclerosis, diabetes,
right,
asthma, all kinds of ailments that were just because they changed their diet.
Correct.
But people are frightened. They're frightened by the medical profession, because the medical profession is telling them, you know, you have to have the chemo, you have to have the radiation, you have to have the surgery, you have to do this, and they're frightened. The doctors frighten them. The doctors know nothing about nutrition. They really don't know how to heal them properly. But the treatments that they give them destroy so many more cells in the body and create other issues. When somebody gets radiation, 70% of the time, the cancer comes back or they get some other form of cancer from the radiation.
Let me add something in there. Okay, what we'll do in the next couple of weeks is we'll continue this health discussion in the next couple of weeks, because it looks like it's going to be lengthy, because we only have about 7 minutes of this show.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like it's very interesting. So what we'll do is, we'll promise to continue this discussion, because there's a lot of things to talk about, especially in terms of maybe we can get into a little of the fringes of the secret of how to do 100% raw, and maybe touch on it a little bit, because I don't want to put the political with spiritual things, even though, you know, we put people in suspense with that, because we should at least let them know how you could actually do that a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But I really want to continue this. Again, we only have like about 6 or 7 minutes left to this show, and you can see it's a very lengthy conversation. There's a lot to discuss here, because we don't really want to throw mud balls at the medical profession, because they're just not trained in this. You see what I mean? Most of them are, I always say, I don't really believe in malfeasance, excuse me, about people contriving to hurt people and what have you. I realize it's a money issue. People are trying to get money, and it really is a court's problem too, because there's a contracts law issue, and this gets into our more political avenue of why, you know, it seems like people are cannon fodder to be experimented on and give drugs and all that. But in reality, the courts have everybody under contract that are classified as dead people, Seskovay Trust of 1666. So you can see why people are experimented on, because ultimately they really don't care whether you live or die about longevity. So that's a big issue and lengthy in terms of bridging the health into the political issue that we're talking about. So that's why this is, in the next couple of weeks, we'll discuss this even more so because it's lengthy. It's very lengthy. You can see that. It's going to probably be several hours of discussion. And I think it's exciting in terms of the discussion because you have a lot of really great things, Gabriella, that you're bringing forward. And we're talking about some things that I think are very valuable if you're talking about people that are mortal, but you could be indefinitely immortal. I mean, you can live a long time. We don't have to live to be 100 years old and we're out of here. That's just rubbish. You know, you don't have to look bad. The quality of life issue. You see?
The thing, you know, we want to grow old, but what's the point of growing old and being on a walker or in a wheelchair because you can't get around on your own momentum? So
yeah, and the disabled parking spaces, they used to have 2, and now they have 22.
Right.
You see what I mean? What's that all about? You see what I mean? Where we're promoting disability, we're promoting infirmities, and then we're applauding, oh, we got to take care of it. Well, no, we don't want to be infirm. We don't want to be blind. We don't want to be on walkers. We want to be out there running with us and being healthy, right? Like the Greek fellow in Whole Foods the other day, we were talking to this gentleman saying, geez, people are looking really terrible at 50 years old. There's no reason why they should. The man was 7 years younger than I was, and I look 20 years younger than he does.
Right.
So that's the issue. You got to walk the talk. I mean, we do. We practice what we preach in terms of looking youthful. I run every day, too. I average 7 miles a day, world-class speeds. You run world-class speeds. We run in a park, and you came up behind me. You were only like a minute behind me after running 6 miles. I was very impressive the other day. And we're talking about coming back on the 3-mile trek on the way back is up hills. Most of it's up hills. I mean, there's some pretty steep hills there that you were coming up, and I was very impressed with that, you see. So the idea is that we're healthy. Like Gabriella was saying, we have a lot of energy that other people don't have. You can see we're enthusiastic. We're very passionate about what we do. See, it's very important to us. We're down to about 3 minutes, so today.
Okay. Yeah, and I do want to mention that Grantham didn't mention that he had lost 300 pounds.
I had lost 300 pounds?
I mean, 150 pounds.
Pound,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry,
so
everybody. He lost 150 pounds
in
approximately a year's time. And he had been overweight for a long time, had a lot of heart problems. And when he went raw, he started losing the weight and getting so much energy and he would never be running today if it hadn't been for getting on the raw diet.
Yeah, thanks for me.
I wouldn't be running now. I'd be too tired to be running
if
I weren't raw.
That's right. I mean, it is an important aspect of being healthy. It truly is, and we are, like I said, we're really passionate. We're emotional about it, and you almost to the point of fanatical about it. We're not. Really, I wouldn't say fanatical about it. Well, most people would probably think we're fanatical because we have a lot of energy about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. They can think what they want. In terms of paying attention to the details is what's very important. And the aspects of, pardon me? I don't need that.
The screen?
No, I don't need that.
Oh, sorry.
I have this.
I'm sorry, but it doesn't tell you how long for the show.
No, I'm not. I'm stupid.
Okay.
But 90 seconds. Sorry about that. My hand signals from my guest host interrupted my repartee. So I actually am twisting her arm now. Stop doing that. So we're down to a last minute and a half, and I want to thank you for being here this evening. I appreciate your interaction. It was very, very good, and I really thank you for that.
Yes, I hope everybody, the people that are listening are interested because if you want to be healthy, if you want to live a much longer life and have a better quality of life, you have to think about what you're eating and not just eat the standard American diet, not even eat a cooked vegan diet. You have to start getting more fresh fruits and vegetables, drink green smoothies, and water is another subject that we didn't touch
right.
on.
Right, we need to talk about hydration.
You need to be drinking a lot more water. Than
right,
we
we'll talk about that next week. We'll talk about hydration quite a bit. So, all right, this is Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show, the Grantham Taylor Hughes Show, and we'll And I want to thank the journeymen for coming on each week and the new people for listening in. I really appreciate your presence. We couldn't do this without you. So have a great week, and thank you very much. And we'll be back next week, and goodbye for now.